Loop Shopping Center.
9:35 here at News Radio KMAN. I'm Andrew Shores, and I'm speaking with Assistant Professor of Political Science, Nathaniel Burkhead from Kansas State University. And Dr. Burkhead, it's always a pleasure to have you here on the program. Always have some great conversation. And today we have some great topics in the form of the failed, I guess it's not even a failed vote. It was a bill that was pulled from the House floor last Friday. And I guess when we set up this appointment to have you on the air, we didn't realize things would play out this way. And you never know how it will play out. But as you were saying before we went on the air, kind of surprising, this health care bill didn't even see a vote, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's for something that has been such a point of contention by Republicans against the Democrats ever since the Affordable Care Act was actually rolled out. To have the bill fold before even drawing a vote was quite a bit of a surprise. If you recall, the Republicans in the House actually sponsored a series of votes that would have actually repealed the Affordable Care Act before the Affordable Care Act even went into practice way back in 2010. And for that now to for them to sort of given up on this, so to speak, and the president wants to move on to reforming the tax code. Was quite a bit of a surprise, and I think a lot of the supporters for Republican candidates are also quite a bit disappointed.
Well, and I think one thing that was particularly interesting to me, I didn't realize there was such a diversity of opinions within the Republican Party, because you had the more moderate Republicans, and then you had the Freedom Caucus, and the Freedom Caucus is kind of what messed this whole process up, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I think that it's the one of the things that we lose track of is that just because you have unified party government, we have Republicans in the Senate, in the House, and in the presidency, that doesn't mean that everybody agrees, right? There's a huge amount of diversity within the Republican conference. And so, yeah, the Freedom Caucus wanted a clean repeal. They wanted to go back to where we were before the Affordable Care Act was created. But then there are a number of Republicans who are in more moderate districts who weren't really willing to do that, either because they didn't, maybe they ideologically didn't agree with it, or because they just didn't think that their constituents would support it. The bottom line is that once the government rolls out a program, once a program gets quote, put into practice and people benefit from it, it becomes a lot harder to repeal that because people now are going to be aware of what they're losing. And so a repeal of Obamacare would have involved cutting back on Medicaid, and 24 million people over the course of 10 years would have lost access to health insurance. And that's the sort of thing that we as citizens typically don't like the idea of, right, because it triggers into our loss aversion. And so then that becomes a lot more difficult than repealing, say, a regulation or something else like that.
Well, and it kind of speaks to just how tightly crafted the Affordable Care Act was written, right? Because I know off the collar politicians say, well, it's a very dense bill. It's hard to understand. And it was going to be maybe impossible to get this out in the first 100 days anyways, even though they'd promised that, right?
Absolutely, yeah. It took the Democrats about a year to get the Affordable Care Act through. And as you say, there are so many different aspects of it, right? Because there's the Medicaid expansion, but then there's also the sort of the employer mandate, but there's the individual mandate, then there's the essential health benefits mandate. And so there's so many different layers of it that to just do a full repeal would involve just a huge amount of sort of legal wrangling. And so 100 days is just an incredibly aggressive timeline.
One thing that I thought was particularly fascinating was Kansas's representatives, we spoke with Roger Marshall last week, who was, he was planning on voting in favor of this.
Yes.
And here at the state level, we're looking at Medicaid expansion. This is something that Kansans have been very interested in for some time. They've wanted this federal money. Do you think there's maybe a disconnect between maybe what the Republican Party wants and what the people want to see?
I'm not comfortable saying that there's a disconnect between what one party wants, what people want to see. I think it's important to understand that, part of the reason that Marshall won his primary against Huell's camp was that Marshall said that he was going to support Paul Ryan and the Paul Ryan agenda, right? The voters in the first district didn't want a Freedom Caucus member. They wanted somebody who's going to be more kind of in the main line of the establishment. And that's very much Marshall kind of holding up that pledge. I think that what we're seeing is a disconnect between what their party wants at the national level and what the party wants at the state level. And what we're seeing at the state level is a move towards expansion of Medicaid, in part because of the inability of Republicans at the national level to actually cobble together a sort of an effective repeal bill. Because Kansas is not alone. There are, I think, five other states that have also moved to expand Medicaid since the vultures started sort of circling overhead of this Affordable Care Act repeal bill.
Right, because so many of the opponents at the state level said, well, we don't even know the future of Medicaid, so why would we vote to expand it now?
Right.
It seems like now there's going to be there's security for now.
Yeah.
Would you assume that maybe we'll see this come back at some point here within at least the next 4 years?
I have to think that they want to take another swing at this. I have to think there's a pretty big constituency of people who don't like the Affordable Care Act. And let's be clear, the Affordable Care Act has a lot of problems, right? There's a lot of people who have sort of high premiums and still high deductibles, and so they're paying a lot of money for a health insurance that they're really never going to really, really, truly benefit from. And so there's a constituency to fix this, to reform this. The question is just exactly how far they go. The Democrats would probably like to fix it too, because they want to sort of maintain it and stability. The question is just how they do so. And if they, if you go too far in the Freedom Caucus move, then you're going to lose the moderate Republicans and the possibility of Democrats coming together. It's an interesting struggle for Paul Ryan now to see if he moves in sort of more moderate direction and maybe pulling in some Democratic votes, or if he moves in the Freedom Caucus direction and then thus sort of and goes in a very conservative way.
Well, the president said that he wanted Paul Ryan to stay as Speaker of the House. Do you think that's maybe a sign that he wants them to come back and take another stab at this?
I think that the president has sent some conflicting messages about exactly what he sort of wants in Paul Ryan. At the same time that he says that he wants Paul Ryan to stay on, he also sort of invited everybody to watch a Fox News segment about how Paul Ryan needs to step down. And so I think that you can kind of you can find whatever you sort of want to find and what the president's saying. I think that ultimately there's no, again, because of the factions within the Republican Party, there's no other individual who's a likely candidate. We saw this when John Boehner was forced out, that Paul Ryan was kind of the de facto choice because there's just nobody else, despite the fact that Paul Ryan's sort of policy goals don't necessarily mean that he's going to be the best at stitching together all these diverse coalitions. So if Paul Ryan were to be removed, then I don't know who would step in, and I don't know that they would be able to do any better job than he is.
So as we were saying before we went on the air, the Republican Party spent 7 years opposing the Affordable Care Act, and then the majority of the presidential campaign this whole last year, a lot of the discussion has been about repealing and replacing Obamacare. What does this mean for the midterm elections next August?
The midterm elections are coming up really rapidly, which is, I guess, kind of hard to say when you feel like we've just been in a presidential election for 14 years. But the one of the big things we're going to see is are the ones who were on the whip counts voting going to vote against this on the moderate side? Are they going to be challenged by sort of more conservative groups? And maybe are they going to be primaried? Or alternatively, are voters going to sort of challenge sort of the mainline Republicans who were more likely to vote in favor of this? This is certainly going to be – this was a big campaign promise. This was a big platform that they voted – that they campaigned on for quite some time. I think it's reasonable to expect voters to hold their representatives accountable. The question is, of course, some voters are going to hold their representatives accountable for voting no, for wanting to vote no, and some voters are going to want to hold their representatives accountable for wanting to vote yes.
Well, and from my very basic understanding, I'm a young person, so I'm very new to the realm of healthcare and understanding the ins and outs. But from my understanding, it was going to roll back Medicaid in order to roll back premiums for younger people. And it seems like this bill would have maybe impacted the older population more than it would have impacted the younger population. And do you think that's going to maybe resonate with older voters?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that my students and I were talking about yesterday, actually, is that, disproportionately older, as you get older, you're more likely to vote, right? Young people don't vote very often. Older people tend to vote very regularly. And so one of the twists of this particular bill was that it would actually typically hurt low-income older Americans, right? So maybe people who are 55 or 60 but not yet able to qualify for Medicare. It was going to hurt them, whereas young healthy Americans wouldn't have really been hurt by it. Typically, that's not the group you want to favor, right? You don't want to favor young, healthy Americans at the expense of older, sort of older ones, because the older ones are the ones who vote most often.
Well, and you look at a map, I believe I saw it on 538 or something like that, a map of it broke down congressional districts, how they voted and how they would be impacted by a repeal of the Affordable Care Act. And it was just interesting because they all voted in one certain way and they were all going to be impacted in one certain way by the rollback. And I thought the dichotomy was, you just noticed a trend. when you looked at the map.
You did. One of the other important things to note, of course, is that a lot of people voted for President Trump, who said that he was going to fix Obamacare, right? But he was going to actually give everybody coverage and do it more cheaply, right? Which is a very different sort of campaign promise from the presidential level than what we're seeing in the actual legislation that was written by Speaker Ryan. And I think that, so you're absolutely right, that the people who are most likely to be hurt by the Affordable Care Act repeal are the people who actually tended to skew more Republican-leaning in most Republican-leaning districts.
In recent history, has there been a time so early in a new administration that legislation has been shot down so swiftly and so strongly?
I can't think of a... I mean, President Clinton had a really, really difficult time in the early part of his terms. Really, the first couple of years of his administration had a really tough time negotiating things with Congress. He had a really bumpy period as well. But if we look back to President Bush or President Obama in the sort of more recent past, they both had pretty successful legislative agendas reached within a pretty quick period of time. President Bush was able to roll back a series of tax cuts. President Obama passed the stimulus package before the Affordable Care Act. They were able to find the issues that they in Congress agreed on and achieve some policy policy gains there. To find President Trump still, we're now pretty far into his 100-day stretch, and no legislative achievements to speak of. I think would be disconcerting for a lot of Trump supporters.
Well, it's 9:46 here at News Radio KMAN. We're going to go ahead and take our first break. But when we come back, we'll still be speaking with Assistant Professor of Political Science, Nate Burkhead. Phone lines are open, 785-537-1350. Your KMAN morning show has been brought to you by your locally owned Merry Maids, a clean that measures up, relax.